Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
The sewers were really just open-air troughs that ran along the sides of the streets and dumped all the waste into the river. Many of the houses didn't have any indoor plumbing, and instead they dumped all their waste and dirty water into cesspools.
This was that kind of place, where women were making the call, where the playing field was a little more even, and where a woman like Ellen realized she could pick and choose. That place, TGI Fridays.
It was my duty as the associate conductor, while Eric Kunzel was conducting the concert, it would be my duty to press the button for the fireworks during the 1812 overture.
Welcome to this week's episode of the WVXU Discovery Podcast, Start Here. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Get set for a quick overview and sample of three podcasts today, two national and one locally produced, to help you navigate the ever-growing world of the podcast phenomenon. Plus, we're introducing the all-new Start Here Blast weekly e-newsletter. You'll get a personalized email with the podcasts we feature on Start Here. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here Blast email from the bottom of the page. Also, now you can rate Start Here on iTunes. And if you're a fan, a 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. So don't forget to rate us on iTunes today. And now, with special thanks for technical assistance from Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and writing research and curation support by Connor Eldridge, it's time to Start Here. First up this week, we're solving mysteries with the help of a great podcast from Vice. But these aren't criminal mysteries. They're real natural mysteries solved by real science. It's called Science Solved It, and it's the story of how some of the world's greatest conundrums were solved with science. How did scientists figure out what moved the sailing stones in Death Valley? How did they stumble across the answer to why some flies can swim underwater? You'll learn all this and more as host Kaylee Rogers leads you on a journey through the history of mysteries. The episodes are just 20 minutes long, the perfect length for your daily dose of knowledge. Here's a recent episode of Science Solved It called The Map That Almost Changed the World. In the episode, they recount the story of a deadly cholera outbreak that ran rampant in London in the 1850s, since science couldn't figure out how it was spread. Science Solved It delves into the work of Dr. John Snow, the scientist who, rather accidentally, made a map that detailed how the disease spread, allowing the epidemic to be contained. In this clip, we learn how cholera was initially thought to be a disease from inhaling sewer gases.
For thousands of years, Western medicine had held that contagious diseases were carried by what they called miasmas. And these were essentially smelly odors that rose up from decomposing organic material. So from a cesspool or from a marsh or a wetland or something like that.
As I said, Soho back then was very different than it is today. The sewers were really just open-air troughs that ran along the sides of the streets and dumped all the waste into the river. Many of the houses didn't have any indoor plumbing, and instead they dumped all their waste and dirty water into cesspools, which are basically just a hole dug into the ground where you dump your chamber pot.
A cesspool is a hole in the ground that's a chamber. You know, an underground chamber that holds human waste. Well, really, it could be any kind of waste, I suppose. Could have an animal cesspool, too. I think we do have those.
Because of all this, Soho was stinky. It smelled really bad a lot of the time. And since the cholera disease was spreading so easily, doctors figured people must be breathing it in through germs in this contaminated air. And it's really not that crazy of an idea. But John Snow, well, he was an anesthetist, so he knew a thing or two about gases. And something about this theory just didn't add up to him.
He knows how gases move around, right? And he understands that, well, when you breathe in a gas or a miasma, which is a gas, you know, according to theory, what gets sick is your respiratory system. You breathe it in and you'll cough or it'll be acrid or you'll have some respiratory symptoms. But what he could see with cholera, which now seems so obvious, with cholera, it wasn't your respiratory system that was getting affected. It was obviously your digestive system.
If people were breathing in contaminants, you would expect the disease to impact their lungs. But that's not what cholera did. Cholera went straight for the digestive tract, as evidenced by all the diarrhea and vomiting. John was like, this makes no sense. There's something else going on here.
he thought the miasma theory didn't make any sense. But this was kind of outside of his area because he was an anesthetist. So kind of investigating this new disease wasn't his main bread and butter or anything. But he did this kind of amazing investigation.
When we come back from the break, we'll discuss how John proved the actual cause of cholera and how his discovery is still influencing public health today.
A sample of Science Solved It from Vice. You can hear more of the world's greatest science-solved mysteries with Science Solved It, now available on WVXU's Podcast Central. This week's featured new edition of the Podcast Central Library from Stitcher and Business Insider comes Household Name, a podcast about the brands you know and the stories you don't. Host Dan Bobkoff takes you on a behind-the-scenes look at some of the biggest brands in our life, Apple, Pizza Hut, Amazon, Starbucks, and more, and finds surprising stories behind the brands. Whether you love them or hate them, every brand has a strange, intriguing, and untold story. For example, did you know that TGI Fridays played an important role in the sexual revolution of the 1960s? That's just a taste of the unexpected you'll find behind household name brands. In this first episode of Household Name Brands titled The Tinder of the 1960s, Dan takes a look at TGI Fridays and its history as a game-changing singles bar on the cusp of the sexual revolution of the 70s and brings the story to life with this clip with interviews from people who have lived through the blossoming of the now family restaurant.
This was 1968. She was working as a teacher on Long Island.
And friends called me and said, let's go out. We're going to a bar in the city. And I was kind of prim and proper. And I said, I don't go to bars. I knew that people got together, gathered at bars and drank. But there was lots of talk about not getting picked up at a bar because you don't know what'll happen if you get picked up.
But her friends insisted. Come to the Upper East Side, they said. This place isn't like other bars. She walks in and is packed.
It was an eye-opener for me. I had never been to that kind of loud, filled with people I knew from high school and college.
Young people standing 3-4 deep from the bar. And then a big 6-foot-tall guy walks over to Ellen and asks if she wants to go to a show.
Why? I said, are you asking me out on a date? And he said, no. He said, you see that guy over there sitting in the corner? He needs a date. He had a date with a girl. She broke the date tonight, and he still has the tickets. So I said, well, what's wrong with him? Why doesn't he come over and ask me?
That guy in the corner is Stan. His roommate promised him to find the perfect date to replace the one who stood him up. Ellen looks over, and Stan is cute, but he's not her type. Too drunk, for one thing.
His friend says to him, this is the girl we've picked out for you. And he said to me, I can do better. And I said, really? Well, then go right ahead. I said, I had no interest in you anyway.
He said that to your face?
Yeah. Between you and me, I said, fuck you, and walked away.
This was that kind of place, where women were making the call, where the playing field was a little more even, and where a woman like Ellen realized she could pick and choose. That place, TGI Fridays.
That was Household Name with Dan Bobkoff. Discover more behind the brands you see every day with Household Name, now available on WVXU's Podcast Central. This week's local podcast feature is sure to bring you closer to the arts. From Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, the Fanfare Cincinnati podcast gives you a chance to explore the vibrant arts world of Cincinnati. From the Cincinnati Pops to the Symphony Orchestra, Fanfare Cincinnati is a perfect way to learn about the thriving arts scene in our city. Thanks to interviews with performers and conductors and the people behind the scenes that make the music possible, you'll get an inside look at every aspect of life in Cincinnati's fine arts scene. Host Chris Bonello, Vice President of Communications for the Symphony Orchestra, sits down with industry experts to talk about news, day-to-day operations, and exciting developments in Cincinnati's blossoming scene. Here's from the first episode of the Fanfare Cincinnati podcast featuring Pops director and artistic administration Sam Strader and Pops conductor John Morris Russell. They joined a show to discuss their roles in the organization as well as the work that goes into planning a concert. In this snippet, Chris talks with John about his inspiration for the annual 4th of July performance for the Pops at Riverbend.
And we're going to take a bit of a deep dive, I think, into patriotic music with Patriotic Pops coming up at Riverbend, a long tradition of Patriotic Pops at Riverbend. We called it Red, White, and Boom at one point. There was a national television broadcast at one point from Riverbend. So this is a long-standing tradition where we take great music, and at the end of the night, they throw in some Rozzy's Famous Fireworks. But there's a lot of thought that goes into programming a concert that's sort of celebrating America. And you are charged with that, sir.
Yes, indeed. Well, you know, as the associate conductor for many years of the orchestra, let's see, between 1995 and 2006, it was my duty as the associate conductor, while Eric Kunzel was conducting the concert, it would be my duty to press the button for the fireworks during the 1812 overture. there were 18 of them, and man, bam, bam. I mean, it was just like, what a sense of power, you know, to have that button.
That's such an odd piece to have on the 4th of July, too. The 1812 Overture, yeah. Which has nothing to do with American right. patriotism whatsoever.
Oh, okay. Don't get me started on this, Chris, man. You know, and, you know, everyone always thinks, oh, you can't have a 4th of July without the 1812 Overture. Okay, let's see. It was written by Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky, who's Russian, and it was called the 1812 because that was the year of 1812 when the Russians defeated the French army. And it starts off with this great chorale in praise of the Tsar. That, you know, if you would offer up a translation, it goes something like, "Oh Tsar, you are so great. We the people cede all of our power to you. You are omnipotent and all knowing." Anyway, so for the past 6 years, as I've been back now as the Pops guy,
the Pops conductor,
right? You know, my thing is. No 1812 Overture. I love the piece, you know, and we get to perform it in lots of different venues. But for 4th of July, you know, I say the music needs to be about us, about America, about the great mosaic that is the American musical experience.
When I was a little kid, I thought it had something to do with the War of 1812.
But I think a lot of people do, right?
Which I, you know, obviously as I learned more and life got older, all that good stuff, I figured it wasn't. So, audiences come to a 4th of July concert sort of expecting this great American patriotic sound. To you, John Morris Russell, what is a great American patriotic sound?
The great American patriotic sound is like all the music that is American. I mean, you know, what I found when I went abroad, I lived for a year in London, England, and man, I never realized how square the rest of the world is. You know, it was like, you know, just like jingles on, you know, on the radio or on TV or something. You know, everything was just like, man, this is so square. And I never realized how hip and how cool and how jazzy our American sound is. And it pervades everything. You know, when I think of patriotic music, I think of Motown. I think of bluegrass. You know, I think of rock and roll. I mean, this is uniquely American. It could have only come here from people from all over the world bringing their experiences and puts it all together to create this unique sound that we call American music.
A sample from the Fanfare Cincinnati podcast from the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra. Learn more about one of our city's biggest points of pride with Fanfare Cincinnati. Available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. To the charts we go, our weekly look at the most popular podcasts on the Apple Podcast charts as ranked by iTunescharts.net. Well, Slow Burn, the podcast, debuted at the end of last year with season one and the deep background story on Watergate. It shot to number one after just 2 weeks on the charts. Well, now, season two of the podcast was released just 2 weeks ago with a story of Monica Lewinsky and the impeachment of Bill Clinton. Host Leon Nafok and Slow Burn is again at number one on the Apple Podcast charts. That wraps up this episode of Start Here, WVXU's Discovery Podcast. And speaking of discovery, astronomical discovery, that is, you want to check out our newest original podcast, Looking Up, with Dean Regas and Anna Heyman. Dean's the outreach astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory and co-host of the PBS series Stargazers and author of the book Facts from Space. Anna's the observatory's director of development with an innate curiosity about the cosmos. That's Looking Up, now at WVXU.org. And if you're turning into a podcast junkie and just can't get enough, try these two new discovery resources, NPR's The Big Listen with Laura Ober. You get an audio peek into great storytelling podcasts. And for a more blog-like written review and recommendation, NPR has Earbud.fm. They use unique categories to help you discover podcasts with things like advice, do it like a lady, and big ideas. And of course, Jim Nolan, Kevin Reynolds, and the WVXU staff feature our favorites on Podcast Central at WVXU.org. That's where we'll add your recommendations if you just email us at podcast@wvxu.org or call 513-294-8030 and leave us a voicemail. I'm Trip Eldridge for WVXU, and thank you for choosing to start here.